The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. I'm Gordon Smart. Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast. On this episode, Serge Pisano from the Mighty Kasabian, album of the week, and we've got a report on independent venues.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Right, okay, this is a regular feature that we're going to do on the Evening Show. It's one of the things that we plan to talk about a lot. We're going to plunder the rock and roll history books for extravagant details of bands' ridiculous rider requests. And I've got this magical little Bible, this little rock and roll Bible called the Little Red Rider's Book. It's superb. And of course, we're inspired by the most famous rider of all, which was Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen. And you'd always get a bowl of M&Ms with the brown ones taken out. That's the inspiration, right? So I'm going to go through the book now. I'm going to just thumb through the book. And at randomly, I'm going to select, here we go, Guns N' Roses. They had Dunhill cigarettes, a Marlboro Red cigarettes, Camel filter cigarettes, and adult magazines, preferably Penthouse and Playboy. Which, yeah, there you go, fair enough. That's what Axl Rose likes to read on the road while he's having a cigarette. But if you remember, we had Two Door Cinema Club on the show not long ago. There's a bit of a common theme, actually, now I think of it. Maybe they should be called Two Door Adult Cinema Club. But this is what Alex Trimble and the band had to say when they came in here.
You know what? Our rider nowadays is so boring, but back in the day, we used to put porn on the rider just to see what the local flavors were.
A porn magazine of your choice.
Yeah,
a
porn magazine.
That dates it already.
The best we ever had it was in, I think it was in Germany somewhere, and someone photoshopped our heads onto porn. And it was fantastic. I mean, we had them up.
Scarily sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had them up in the house. They took pride of place in the kitchen for about a year when we lived together.
Yeah.
Yes. Nowadays, it's much more of full of antioxidants and ginseng. Yes, and refreshing coconut waters. And
necessary, though.
Yeah, well,
for a touring band on the road, I think you need all of those things.
Got to keep yourself healthy.
Yeah.
We used to get, like, socks. We used to put loads of things on there that then we just never got, so then we thought, oh, that's pointless.
Yeah.
It's socks and scratch cards.
Is that not the point of it, though, to test whether they're paying attention or not?
Yeah. And then it gets very disheartening when you realise they don't pay attention every day for, like, 10 years.
That was Two Door Cinema Club, or maybe as we'll call them from now on, Two Door Adult Cinema Club. That was Alex Trimble and Kev talking there. I love that line as well, by the way. Local flavours. Never heard it described as that before. But what I want to know about on Radio X during the evening show is what's on your domestic rider tonight? What's sitting in front of you? Are you celebrating Burns Night tonight? I don't know, maybe you've got a little bit of haggis, neeps and tatties in front of you. Let me know. I've taken a picture of what I've got and it will definitely involve some haggis at some stage tonight. Okay, Richard Nessick says, hello Mr. Smart, drinking Brewdog, listening to The View, got Burns Night sorted. We've also got Keith, he says, haggis and chips for me and a wife Bonnie tonight. Play us some Beta Band, I'd love to, if only. And also, Stephen Broad in Epsom says he's having cheese strings. Do they even exist anymore? What else we got here? Ben Swainsbury, great name Ben, we're going to call you Sainsbo. He says, I have a coffee and a Yorkie bar. Love the show. Nice one, Ben. Swainsbo, as we like to know you. And the best one we've had yet, all the way from Switzerland, up in the mountains, Sam's got in touch and she sent us a picture of what is my dream night. A tinned can of premium haggis, little bit of cheese and a computer. What more do you want in life?
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Right, you'll have heard the news earlier today. Massive, massive festival news. Reading and Leeds headliners. The best band, I think, at headlining festivals at the moment. Kasabian are back, and Sergio Pisano is on the phone right now. Serge, how are you doing?
Very good, Gordon. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. I'm very well. You've had the head down for a year. You've been busy in the surgery, you know, making the potions, and it's time, brother. Are you excited about getting back up on the stage in front of hundreds of thousands of mad fans?
Yeah, you know, it's like, as you say, I've been tinkering away, you know, and it's sort of now it's time to unleash this new record, which I'm so excited about, and I mean I've got to say it's really proud of it, and sort of announcing that, you know, one of the first shows back is arguably the best festival in the world, you know what I mean? It's like, this is, it's gonna have some serious business, it's gonna happen, I tell you.
I've seen you over the years, right? Well, it's well over 10 years now, right? So small venues, big venues, festivals all around the world. You had skeleton suits on stage, you had massive slogans for 4813, Velociraptor was all about, you know, a big stage performance. Fieldings joined you on stage. What have you got up your sleeve this time to make these festival shows even more special? How do you keep it going up?
Well, we're sort of just building it now. Got a few little nice moves up our sleeves. But I tell you what, it all stems and starts from the mosh pit it's so important to me that the drops and the moments and we it builds from that, you know. We need to I like the show to have that energy and so it's all about that mosh pit.
Too right. I remember one of my favourite memories of music was being around your place and you had all the songs cut out on a bit of card. And I said about 23, 25 pieces of card with a different song name on it, and you were working out the set list. Now, you've got a pile of those cards now, a lot of songs to choose from. So which weapons, what ammunition are you going to do? Because, you know, you've got a ready-made, an easily made encore there. But, you know, what do you drop to put the new stuff in?
It's always one of them. I wouldn't say we're going to play like the whole new record, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think for headlining festivals, you know, we'll play, like a greatest hit, you know what I mean? And a lovely assortment of the history of the band, you know what I mean? It's like, and then with a few little Bertie Bassett's in there.
Because that's part of the Kasabian thing, you know, there's always been a tongue-in-cheek and a little bit of humour about, you know, Clubfoot and songs like that. Do you keep that going, or is there a point where you think, right, now it's down to business?
It's kind of it's what we're about, you know what I mean? Like, we're always kind of, that humour in there. Like, in every lyric, really, and in every tune, there's always something. There's the little nod to sort of absurdity, you know what I mean? I think it through the years, it's sort of kind of a few people's heads, you know what I mean? But from day one, we just sort of been taking, do you know what I mean?
too right. What is it about Reading that elevates it above other festivals? You know, what is it that makes it so special?
I mean, it's for me, like, I remember the Nirvana performance, you know what I mean? And it has that history, I suppose. And that, again, it's that the crowd that both shows are just... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sort of sticks with you forever.
We're going to dig into the Kasabian canon right now and play a proper festival anthem. So this is Stevie on Radio X. Stevie,
the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was Stevie on Radio X. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm delighted to say that Serge Pizzorno is with us on the phone right now. Serge, where are you in the world?
I'm just at home, mate, in Leicester.
Yeah, you didn't go to Devon in the end to do some mastering. You managed to stay at home.
I've rescheduled the old Devon trip.
Yeah, quite right, sir, quite right. You know this, I'm going to ask you something now, and be prepared for a difficult question.
Okay.
Right? I've got this rule in my family that after about 15 years, it's fair game. You can admit to all the dark past, right? I don't know if you remember this, but it's a great Reading memory of mine. On the train station at Reading, after we lifted the Celebrity Soccer 6 trophy, we got in a spot of bother. Somebody went to the toilet on the platform. Serge might have been given a little tap on the shoulder for being the guilty party. It was the best headline never written in newspaper, Serge Pizzorno. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but you remembered it wrong because it was one of my pals from Leicester, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct. It was Sus, one of your friends. Yeah, we'll blame it on him. Proper rock and roll moment, though, and that's what Reading's about, and that's what the festival experience is about. And here's the thing, you know, you're headlining, but yeah, there are so many massive gigs that you've played now. Tea in the Parks, Glastonbury's Festival, Coachella, I've seen you play there. You know, what is it about playing and headlining festivals that... It's what you get out of bed for, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's mad because over the years you sort of learn, you know, the first few times, you know, you sort of, like anything, you know, you're sort of feeling your way into it. And now I think we've figured out how it is, you know. Well, all it is, I suppose, you've got to figure out what you do, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think over the years, doing it for so long, it's like, right, OK, we know what we do best. Our way of headlining festivals, our way. So I remember... You know, standing and being, you know, on the watching bands on the other stage and seeing the main stage and just thinking, wow, one day, do you know what I mean? And it was always like, well, if we do get there, or when we get there, we'll do it our way, do you know what I mean? That was the beauty of it.
Too right, and that's the thing as well. While you're busy tinkering in the studio, as you put it, Tom is a coiled spring. And what's that moment going to be like when you first see him released into the wild for the first time for over a year?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I've been speaking every day, you know what I mean? He's so ready, you know what I mean? He's absolutely ready for this. Especially with, you know, the excitement of new tunes and stuff, you know? It's like, we cannot wait.
Serge, cannot wait to see it. We'll be down there. All the best for the tour ahead. Sydney as well, you know, you get a suntan just in time for Reading.
Yes, mate, that's the move, right?
Happy days, man. Well, can't wait to hear the new album. Serge, thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Serge Pizzorno from Kasabian. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, here on Radio X.
Hey, girls.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Right, okay, it's Independent Venue Week. It's a 7-day celebration of small music venues around the UK. And a nod to the people that own, run and work in them week in, week out. This is something that really matters to me as well. You know, all the great bands you love all started off in smaller venues. If you don't go and you don't spend your money over the bar, they close. We're watching it at the moment. Nightclubs are shutting, pubs are shutting. If you want your local venue, your smaller venue, where those bands get their chance to stay open, you have to go. So Dr. Sunta Templeton, you will know her very well from Johnny Vaughan's show. She goes out and DJs after her show every night. You know, she goes out and works. She was playing the Trainspotting party the other week. She's playing small venues, DJing. She understands how important it is, and she's put a little bit of a package together for us about exactly that.
It's Independent Venue Week, celebrating small music spaces across the UK. More than 145 gigs are happening this week alone as part of the annual event, which was started by Sybil Bell. Now, Sybil told Radio X she began it because more and more venues were finding themselves under threat, but the initiative encourages more music fans to spend time and money in their local spaces.
Especially for the smaller venues or the venues that don't get the footfall. They're on a level playing field during Independent Venue Week. They're treated exactly the same by us as venues that are really well known, that have been on the circuit for a while, and that's a huge boost for them because they feel they're part of something.
Tim Burgess from The Charlatans is the ambassador for this year's Independent Venue Week, following in the footsteps of the likes of Wolf Alice and Frank Turner. The Week of Gigs is also highlighting loads of up-and-coming bands, including the likes of Cabbage, The Carnabies and Sam Duckworth, formerly of Get Cape, Wear Cape, Fly. And Sybil told us it's vital they have somewhere to play.
If you're in a band and you're just starting out, you have to play somewhere live first. You can only do so much in your garage. And you're not going to be able to walk into a big sponsored venue. So you need the local venues. And the people that own and run them certainly don't do it for the money.
There are still loads more shows happening across the UK for Independent Venue Week that you can get involved with at places like the Soundhouse in Leicester, the Soup Kitchen in Manchester and Nambuka in London. And Sybil reckons you'll be better off for it.
It's just great to be able to say, you know, whatever else is going on in the world, or, you know, with a lot of the issues around venues, isn't it nice for a week to be able to say, oh, should we just go to a gig and have a great night and see some great bands and discover some new music?
More details at radiox.co.uk.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Absolutely love that. Oasis Supersonic on Radio X. This is the evening show with me, Gordon Smart. Finally got to see Supersonic. It's taken me far too long. Oh, and I tell you what, I've just fallen back in love with the band. I'd never thought I would, but it reminded me of being a 15-year-old again. I can tell you one little fact about the film you might not know as well. I was out about 18 months ago, when they were making it. And I'd heard these rumours of this incredible footage they had and how they managed to get some camcorder footage from inside Noel's house, where Peggy's answering the phone, his mum's answering the phone. I asked her about it. I said, I hope you don't mind me asking, but how did a house with no carpets have a camcorder in it? And the true story is that one of the roadies, who will remain nameless, I know who it was, nicked it in their duty free and had brought it back. But that's the reason they had all that great footage. And also Tim Abbott from Creation Records had been pretty good and quite diligent about filming stuff, so they had a wealth of material, and they did a brilliant job, it has to be said. Matt Whitecross, who directed, he also made Spike Island, quite a few of the Coldplay videos, but he did a brilliant job. I really enjoyed it. And of course the guys involved, the producers involved, also made Senna and Amy, which were pretty good. But there's so much from it that I loved. I mean, just took me straight back to 1995, the first time I saw them at Irvine Beach, and the excitement of that, the fear more than excitement of being part of that congregation as it swept around this sweaty tent in Scotland in the middle of the summer. It was incredible. The first performance in The Word, I mean, I remember watching that on the telly as a wee boy, teenager, thinking, I've got to go and see them, this is my band. But there's so much about it. But the thing that really stuck with me was when Noel at the very end was talking about Nebworth and how that marked sort of the bookend of gigs where people didn't spoil it by holding up mobile phones. So you get this huge congregation, hundreds of thousands of people, all enjoying it with no distraction. And it will never, ever be like that again, which is a crying shame. But my only frustration with the film really was that they didn't mention Balloch Park, because Scotland played such a huge part in their history. You know, they were signed at King Tut's, which was mentioned. They played some of their early gigs there. They did a record exec
performance at Glen Eagles, which was big in their career as well. But Balloch was huge. You know, they didn't just play hundreds of thousands at Nebworth. They played to over 100,000 in a weekend at Balloch Park in 1996, which really was a coming of age for me and all my pals when we went to see it. And I'll never forget it, the bottle fight that nearly ended the whole gig. Black Grape were on first, bottle fight kicks off. Oasis had to come out. I think Noel came out actually and said, look, if you don't stop it, the gig's called off. And it very nearly didn't happen, but it was one of the most special moments I had in music. What about you, Vin? You've seen it now?
Yeah, I saw it when it came out. Absolutely loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it.
Because you were too young to experience it first time, so it still resonated with you.
Well, that's the thing that really got to me was I didn't realise how huge they were and how much they exploded.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It's funny, some of my colleagues who used to work with me at The Sun had sort of seen it through standing outside Liam and Noel's letterboxes and doors for most of that era. And there was one brilliant story Ali Ross told me when Noel had elbowed past him to go and see Liam when he'd split up with Patsy. And I got to hear what really happened in the house that day from Noel. And he said he'd gone round and the TV had been kicked in. There's an empty bottle of Jack Daniels in an ashtray with about 400 fags in it. And he's sitting speaking to Liam saying, look, you've got to pull yourself together. We need to get ourselves sorted out. And he could just hear whimpering. And he looked round and Patsy was kind of cowering in the corner. But yeah, there's all sorts of dark stuff going on behind the scenes and all sorts of amazing things. But I just can't see it happening like that ever, ever again. If you haven't seen it, make sure you see it. Supersonic.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Right, there seems to be this really rich vein of anniversaries happening at the moment. I went to see Trainspotting at the weekend and it seems like there's an awful lot of stuff that happened exactly 20 years ago. So, Blur, fifth album, 1997, 10th of February, exactly 20 years ago next month, is when their fifth album came out. And it's just amazing to think 20 years has passed. And those songs were probably some of the most commercially successful, but also the bravest songs that they'd released. Off the back of the success of Park Life and The Great Escape, they kind of felt like they had the confidence to do what they really wanted to do. And Graham Coxon was given free rein to really, really enjoy himself. And there were some amazing songs that came out of it. Song 2, M.O.R., which of course stood for Middle of the Road, and On Your Own, which Damon still says was the beginning of Gorillaz, really. And Vin, I know you're a massive, massive Blur fan.
Oh yeah, I like the Blurs.
Yeah, and Coxon says this is probably still his favourite album. If you think about it, Modern Life and Rubbish, then they built up to Park Life and Great Escape, and Leisure, of course. This was the chance where they did their Beatles White album. It was kind of compared to that at the same time, wasn't it? Because they had the chance to do what they really wanted to do and the confidence and money to do it.
Yeah, the opening track is Beetlebum, and that was one of the early singles. And yeah, it got loads and loads of Beatles comparisons. And yeah, it was just them being confident and doing something a bit different, wasn't it?
Because it could have gone wrong, that's the thing as well. Isn't it? When the band are given that free rein, it could go horribly wrong. But as I say, Coxon got his chance to spread his wings and some brilliant songs came from it. As I mentioned earlier, Song 2 was on there. Probably their most successful song in America. I remember it from being the soundtrack to FIFA when I was a teenager, I think. But it is a classic. And we're going to play two Blur songs from that album back to back. Kicking off first with Blur, Song 2 on Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love the last two songs. Two classics from Blur there. We are celebrating a classic album. Blur, their fifth, their self-titled album. Two huge songs there, Song 2 and Beetlebum. Magical moments, sending the hairs, standing up the back of my neck after all those amazing live performances as well. If you think of an encore for any band, right, and you can throw Song 2 in there, it's pretty hard to find anything else that will send a rocket off quite like that track. I've seen it at Hyde Park. Also, at the Barrowlands as well. So in a small venue and in a huge venue with a massive congregation, it's just as good when people go bananas listening to that. Great songs. And also, you can't listen to that without thinking about the great video as well for Song 2, where Damon's flying around the carpeted room, Alex James gently sucking on his cigarette as always, looking like a completely cool man. What about you, Vin? You've been to see Blur plenty of times.
Yeah, I think the memory that I'll always have is Graham writhing around with his guitar like Jimi Hendrix during Beetlebum, and it goes on for 10 minutes, and he's having a, you know, he's just soloing away. play.
Yeah, I remember seeing them after. I went to that gig and went out afterwards and just remember Damon had this look in his face. Because, you know, there was a spell after that fifth album that it looked like they may never play live together again. And, you know, when you've got songs like that, you have to share them. I think it's an obligation to do that.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I'm still trying to get my head together after last night going to the premiere of Trainspotting 2. I never thought I would see the day where that film happened. Danny Boyle and Ewan McGregor obviously had a little bit of bad blood after he wasn't cast in The Beach, but finally patched it up. John Hodge wrote a brilliant script and the film was made. And I've never been so apprehensive about something because I was so determined, so keen for it to be as good as the first. And I wasn't disappointed. I should say there will be no spoilers here. I might hint at a few things, but I can tell you that you won't be disappointed. The music, as expected, is outstanding. It really is brilliant. Put together by Rick Smith from Underworld. Some new stuff, some reworked versions of Born Slippy all thrown in there, and some great new stuff as well from Young Fathers and Wolf Alice, which is superb. But yeah, I should say it means a lot to me, right, and a lot of people from where I come from, but particularly where I came from. I was born in Edinburgh, lived in a place called Toll Cross, and the premiere was about a mile away from my first flat. And then when I was 18, moved back to West Toll Cross, which was within 500 yards of where the premiere was last night. And I probably listened to the soundtrack 1,000 times in that flat in my first year at university. So it felt so special. Turning up last night, wandering down the orange carpet, there was a real buzz about it. And Fountain Bridge isn't a particularly glamorous part of the world. It's only really famous for Sean Connery's birthplace. Apart from that, you can imagine it looks like your average sort of retail park anywhere else in the country. But everybody was there, they got a full turnout and they were on amazing form. And I have to say, the overall reaction was that it was a huge, huge success. But moved by the film, I mean, Begbie is terrifying in it. We all have a Begbie in our life, we all know a Begbie. But Robert Carlyle's performance in this film is outstanding. It's also a lot about Spud. And if you like Spud the first time around, he seems to kind of hold the film really for me. But there is a scene in it which I think is up there as my favourite scene in any film ever. All I'm going to say is it's 1690, probably slightly related to sectarianism, so a bit of a hot topic. But Ewan McGregor has a writing credit for the song that is sung, and that's the only hint I'll give. But anybody from Scotland, anybody from Northern Ireland, anybody from Ireland will understand the intricacies of it. But the way it is done is absolute genius. It's superb. But as I say, Begbie and Spud are brilliant. Irvine Welsh, all fairness to him, he's created these characters that have managed to survive over 25 years. Incredible stuff. And John Hodge has done a brilliant job of getting porno back involved too. So when I turned up, walked onto the orange carpet, I'm a Hibs fan, Irvine Welsh is a Hibs fan, we've had a few nights out together. I got a wink from him. I was so excited about that. And I thought, oh, I'm so proud just to even be here. I felt honoured to have the chance to go. And then today, Ewan McGregor liked my pick from the premiere. And I'm buzzing about that. It's a small victory in a small moment. We'll tweet all of that at radiox.co.uk. Have a look if you like.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Never tire of that. Happy Monday. Step on Radio X. That's for Santino and Teo in North London. Hope you enjoyed that, chaps. Got a great story for you about Sean Ryder, right? I used to work in newspapers, and a colleague of mine at a rival paper, a girl called Nikki Waldegrave, once went to interview Sean Ryder. She turned up at his house. He'd not long before had a child, so his missus wasn't around. He was there looking after the baby. He asked her just to look after the kid while he nipped round to the shop to get some fags and some drinks. And she said, yeah, no problem at all. Came back 2 days later. That's a Sean Ryder. That's the kind of what you expect from Sean Ryder. And he's kind of bloke that gets away with it as well. But Happy Mondays, absolutely loved that.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio
X. Thanks very much for downloading the podcast. If you liked it, tell your friends, leave a review. And make sure you subscribe. I'm back every night on the evening show between 7 and 10 on Radio X.
Radio X.
Get into the music.